Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.
Cutting the Curd has been brought to you by Academy Opus Cassius. The Academy Opus Cassius is the cheese industry's unique center for professional development, offering both practical and classroom training in the heart of France. For more information, visit academy-mons.com.
I'm Linda Palaccio, host of A Taste of the Past. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, this is Diane Stemple on Heritage Radio Network's Cutting the Curd. This week, I have the pleasure of talking with fellow Heritage Radio Network host Jimmy Carone, author with Rachel Wharton of I Like Pig, recipes and inspiration from New York City's Pig Island. Hello.
Hi, Diane. Thanks for having me on the show.
You're very welcome. Is it weird to be in not the host seat?
Well, you're a good host. I'm happy to be here.
Well, what if I wasn't?
Well, we'll see how it goes.
Okay. Well, it's great to have you here. You've certainly had a very tough month, and we'll talk about that at the end of the show. But let's focus on the book first. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Okay. I've done a few meat books on Cutting the Curd, even though it's a cheese show. But this is my very first e-book.
Well, it was quite a process doing the ebook. It's based on an event that I produce called Pig Island, where every year we get 25 chefs and we buy pigs from New York farmers and we give them the pigs, and the challenge is, what dish can you make? And it's more of a smorgasbord of different dishes, from soups to desserts to appetizers. So the idea is you walk around, you're getting a full meal with different chefs' interpretation of that whole pig.
Okay. When did Pig Island start?
Started in 2010. I had been producing some special food events like Taste of Tribeca, which was actually my daughter's school fundraiser. Mm-hmm. And from that, I really got into producing food festivals. And Governor's Island had just kind of opened up to doing public events that year. And with my buddy Josh Ozersky, we produced the first big Meatopia event. And
Meatopia being different than Pig Island?
Yeah, Meatopia. Josh Ozersky, for many years, had done a birthday party called Meatopia, where he had a number of his chefs, each cooking, you know, whole large format meats, you know, from lambs to cows and everything. And we had the chance to produce a food event on Governor's Island, and he was one of the first people I talked to, so we said, let's collaborate. And we took his chefs and, you know, my know-how of producing events, and we made Meatopia. And there was one thing that came up in that event, is that I really wanted to have a focus on sustainable meat, in particular working with, you know, small local farmers. So after we did Meatopia, I had a talk with some people, and they said, let's do a real fully sustainable meat event. How to do that? Let's just buy pigs from farmers and give them to the chefs.
Okay, so how did you get to let's do just pig?
That's a good question. I think it's actually Josh Ozersky joked that we should call an event Pig Island. So he coined the term.
So then it was, okay, we're going to just serve pig.
Well, it was also that I was close with some pig farmers. Paul Dench Layton of Violet Hill Farms, the first year, provided almost all the pigs. And he basically said to me, yes, he has a bumper crop of
You write pigs. About that in the book, that he had too many pigs and needed to do something with them.
Yeah, fall was coming, and he wanted to. He couldn't feed them all winter, so you know, he harvested them.
It was
them.
Time to eat them.
Yeah, and that's how it was born. And you know, we paid him for the pigs. You know, and like anything, it's like nothing's perfect, but we pay the farmers for their pigs and at a price that they feel is fair. And that's kind of become the whole point of the event, is buying the pigs from them and giving them to the chefs.
And wouldn't you say pork has just gotten very much more popular in the past couple of years.
It has. I mean, there's a lot of other events. There's bacon themes events. You know, mm-hmm. there's that Cochon 555 event.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we just keep focusing on the pig because it's there's so many farmers raising pigs,
mm-hmm.
and it's a theme that we mm-hmm. have. But it's so many cultures too. I mean, we have, you know, we've had Mexican chefs like Zarella Martinez.
Mm-hmm.
We have chefs from a Greek restaurant in Queens called Ovelia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm Italian American. Mm-hmm. So there's so many cultures work with, you know, with pork.
Uh huh. Uh-huh. Okay. So how did the book idea evolve, and how did it come up as an idea for a book or an idea for an ebook?
Well, that's a good question. But after the third year of Pig Island, I was starting to think of other ways to give back to the chefs to help raise the profile of the event. And there's a writer-editor named Nick Fauchold, who was, at the time, he was the editor at Tasting Table,
mm-hmm.
and he went off and started his own line of, like, you know, apps and, mm-hmm. and things like that. It's like an online publishing.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked. He had made a great one called the Italian Pantry Kitchen app, mm-hmm. with Sarah Jenkins.
Okay.
And he had a model where he was going to do a Mexican one and other themes once he had set up the app. And I said, well, I'd like to do an app like that for Pig Island with the recipes.
Mm-hmm.
And he advised me that it was really expensive.
Ah.
And I wasn't really...
To pay someone to make an app?
Yeah, to make a custom app, mm-hmm. As he had done.
Okay.
So he told me to do an ebook, and... It the price made sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, there's a lot of online publishing formats. You know,
right.
between $500, $700, you can get a really good online, you know, ebook once you have the content.
Now, is an ebook cheaper to produce because it's less interactive? So it's just, you know, you write it, you put it on there, and then people buy it?
Yeah, I mean, the typical ebook, there's a lot of sites that you can go to. It's pretty much you just put in the copy and you put in your photos. Kind of like that old, remember there was Blogspot?
Mm-hmm.
10 years ago, everybody mm-hmm. had their blog on blogspot.com. Mm-hmm. There are sites where it's similar to that, where you just kind of plug in
okay.
your copy, maybe pick the fonts.
Mm-hmm.
And what we did, though, we went beyond that, though, because this was a two-year project. It wasn't, at first I thought this would be easy, we're just going to put the recipes up. And,
right.
And I've known Rachel Wharton a long time, I always loved working with her,
mm-hmm.
and it was Nick Fauchold who actually suggested her out of the blue, so that mm-hmm. made sense. And then,
even though you knew her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just cool coming from Nick that he recommended her, and then we went forward with the project, and we picked our 25 favorite recipes
uh-huh.
from the first three years of the event,
mm-hmm.
of which there's quite a few. I mean, there's so many great people. Like, there are non-professional chefs like Kathy Irway,
mm-hmm.
who did a bao with a roast pork, and
mm-hmm.
We modified a lot of the recipes.
I was going to ask about that. Is the book all from Pig Island but scaled down for home cooks?
Yeah, I mean, most of the recipes were made for Pig Island, and then Rachel did testing and made them for about 4 to 6 people.
Okay,
I was
going to ask you who did the testing of the recipes.
Yeah, Rachel did all that.
Oh.
She really threw herself into it.
Now, I thought she's a writer, too.
She's a writer, too, but she did the recipe testing as well.
Okay, so you did not.
Well, we worked together, and that I actually
You picked your favorites from Pig Island?
And she did, too, but I also made up... I created some other of my favorite recipes, too.
Okay.
So there's a couple in there. There's pasta with bacon.
Right.
That's really
simple.
For
your daughter's birthday parties?
Yeah.
Do you cook it often?
I used to. When I first opened Jimmy's No. 43, that was something when I had birthday parties, I would make this big. It's like you take a little bacon for fat and some onions, mm-hmm. maybe a bay leaf, and you kind of just get it all golden.
Mm-hmm.
And then the key is you reduce a little beer into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just toss it with the pasta with fresh cream and butter,
mm-hmm.
a little pecorino cheese.
The book made me hungry. And the pictures. Now, the pictures, I want to ask about them. Is it easier to make food look good online? Like, are the photo shoots shorter or easier because everything looks so good on a screen?
I'll tell you that Rachel's boyfriend John Taggart did the photos and
mm-hmm.
did an unbelievable job,
mm-hmm.
but that was one of the bigger issues. Was I think when we were first approached the ebook, they were just going to plug in the copy and the photos, as I said,
uh-huh.
but we ended up even having a designer designing the intros to each, you know, lettering or
mm-hmm.
fonts,
mm-hmm.
but John really wasn't happy with how his photos would look on that format.
Okay.
So instead, he
fancied them up
in an Instagram format.
Oh, okay.
So that's
why they look good.
Yeah, because if you turn your phone, You know, it changes sizes. So it's the Instagram format's what he did.
Oh, okay. I read it on an iPad, so I don't know what it would look like on a phone.
Yeah, it's the same.
Okay.
It's that square-shaped photos. But,
okay.
I mean, the thing that's come up, we're now pitching for a print book, and we've talked to some publishers, and Rachel's her agent, David Patterson, is working with us. So, but one thing that came up is there's different type of photos.
Right.
So, like, a lot of these are more like set, you know, like there's portraits of butchers and there's some shots at farms and and those kind of shots. That's what John does, because John was a Daily News photographer for a long time and Wall Street Journal photographer. The one thing that we're going to have to modify is for a print book, we're going to do close-ups of food shots, and there's a little bit of styling that
more food styling
he's not familiar with and that we haven't done.
Okay. So I thought the food looked pretty good.
Oh, I love his photos. They're great. I mean, that was what was fun about doing the actual book. I mean, it just started as doing ebook, you know, the recipes, but we went on 4 field trips, and, you know, the book's going to have a lot, the print book's going to have a lot more photos.
Okay.
So we went to... We stayed local in New York, but we went to the East Village Meat Market, which is one of my favorite places.
Now, is that the guys who have the head cut in half picture?
Yeah.
Now, that was made me a little squeamish, that double head picture. Then later in the book, you say, it's better to cut the head in half to cook it in the pot. And was like, gross me out.
Well, that's Sam Barbieri. So that's the other thing, is it's like a community cookbook. Sam Barbieri, he owns Waterfront Ale House, but he's also been a competitive barbecue guy for years.
Yeah.
And he's the one at every breakfast at barbecue events, he would serve his head cheese with a Flemish red, a sour beer called Rodenbach.
Uh-huh.
So.
Oh, I'll eat head cheese. I just don't know if I want to see the two heads in the pot, the two half heads.
I guess you got to cut it in half.
Right. So what date is Pig Island this year?
This year it'll be September 12th, 2015.
And where is it?
Well, the first 3 years it was on Governor's Island, and then we moved to Red Hook, the waterfront in Brooklyn.
Okay.
And we have...
Because you got bigger?
Yeah,
or
we
it's
got
easier
bigger.
To get to?
Yeah, I love Governor's Island. I mean, there's nothing like doing events there. It's so special. Mm-hmm. We were ready for a change. We needed to have a place where we could have more access and drive in.
Mm-hmm.
The chefs wanted to be able to drive in more.
How do chefs get to Governor's Island?
Governor's Island is doing events there is like a fantasy. It's just, it's kind of like you really get up early, you catch this ferry, and all the chefs are on the boat together with their trucks and rigs, and you ride over, and then you kind of drive down this little lane to the to the beautiful field, the Colonel's Row.
Mm-hmm. I've been there once. It is a nice place.
But the experience of setting up in the morning, it's a dream.
It arduous.
It's arduous, but it's beautiful.
It's
kind of like, wow, we're really in this together.
And
that's what it was, the spirit of Pig Island, that we're all in this together. And, you know, then the chefs would start playing soccer because we'd have to get there at 7 in the morning.
Right, and then cook for a long time.
Yeah.
Mostly.
So it was inspired by the idea of just going. The challenge was you're going out to this island at the time. It didn't have electricity, didn't have water. And so what will we do? Well, we'll bring grills and we'll cook.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't sound that different from what you do in the country.
Right. It sounds like camping.
Yeah. But we're in New York City.
Okay. So how and when? Oh, you told me how Rachel got involved, your editor. Now, she's called editor, but it sounds like she was jack of all trades.
Yeah. I think that Rachel's very modest. I mean, it's. I think she wants me to get more credit than I deserve, but... you know, she's really the co-author, the editor. She fine-tuned all the recipes.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote, you know, a lot of the copy. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, she's been doing a lot of cookbooks. She's a real pro. And to work with her is amazing. Plus, we're friends. But, you know, she worked on Lou DiPaolo's book.
Oh, I know.
On the cheese front.
He speaks very highly of her.
And that's a book where if you start reading about
Little
Italy.
They went to Italy together.
Oh, yeah. She got some great trips out
of it.
But, you know, you read about Little Italy in Lou DiPaolo's book and then about mozzarella making. And I've seen him make mozzarella for a demo.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about cheese, there's nothing like it when it's just freshly made.
Mm-hmm.
So she's got some great gigs.
Yeah.
She's working on another book, too, a restaurant in Red Hook, The Good Fork. I don't know if there's a deal yet, but I know that she's working with that couple.
Oh, great.
So she's always got a couple books going on. She's a great person to work with. Highly recommend her.
Yeah, I invited her to come on the show, but she's on a plane right now, coming back from visiting somebody.
Yeah, I don't know where she is.
But yeah, she would have loved to be here.
Yeah, she's great.
Okay, so how did you select the recipes? I mean, you know, I haven't been to Pig Island. Or how many a year are there at Pig Island, and how varied are they?
Well, I think that, number one, we wanted to have different parts of the pig represented.
So okay.
We maybe have two rib recipes, but it's not all about ribs. It's not all barbecue.
Okay.
In fact, the barbecue is only a small component of the event. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have a photo essay with Sam Barbieri about it. Shows him preparing a half pig for competitive barbecue.
Right.
In his smoker. So it's, you know, there's so many different parts of the pigs. We have you know, foot recipe, the head recipe,
right.
Ribs, you know, shoulder bacon. You know, every part we've used in some way.
Mm-hmm. And you have the muffins, which I guess have sprinkled pork on
them.
Yeah,
that was Heather Carlucci. The first 2 years we did Pig Island, she just blew everyone away with her like maple glaze.
Right,
you know,
sticky buns
with bacon on top.
Whoa!
And she would make, you know, she would definitely make enough that everyone could have one, but they would go so fast
in the morning.
Yeah, she made like 1,000 sticky buns with bacon on top. So that's an example of dessert.
Right.
There's some chefs like Michael Jenkins from Butter. He's been in every year,
mm-hmm.
and he usually makes like 3 or 4 different dishes every year.
Ah.
And then we have a lot of collaborations. There are these guys called Revolving Danks. The husband, Martin, is from Denmark, and he's mm-hmm. starting to produce in New York City Copenhagen-style street dogs, which mm-hmm. is going to sell wholesale.
Okay.
But he partnered with a ramen restaurant in Brooklyn called Desara,
mm-hmm.
and they serve like open-face moreboard and then some ramen, too.
So okay, so you have a little bit of everything.
Yeah, there's a lot of collaborations. It's like 2 years ago, Zarella Martinez and Tyson Ho, who's got this great barbecue place mm-hmm. out here, Arrogant Swine.
Mm-hmm.
They collaborated.
Right down the street.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a lot of collaborations going on.
How much does Pig Island cost?
It's, I think, for like kind of like all-inclusive.
Eat what you want.
It's, the price has been good. Right now, the price, we've got tickets like up. We haven't really launched them yet, but they're mm-hmm. available at $85.
Ah,
but it's really, okay. You know, it's all you can eat.
All you can drink.
All you can drink. This year, we will also have whiskeys, too.
So we've had beer and whiskey?
We've had only New York State wine, beer, and cider, and now we're having New York State whiskeys,
too.
Oh, so
too. Many choices.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds great. What is the time frame? Like, do people just get loaded?
I don't think anybody gets loaded. You're out in the sun. The last year, I will say that, you know, we're at the whims of weather. It was the hottest day of September in 50 years, 93 degrees. And people were waiting for the thunderstorm to come in. So everyone came early, and we had a run on water. For some reason, no one ever drinks water at these events, but they wanted water.
Yeah. Huh. Okay, well, it's time for a break. We'll be back in a moment on Cutting the Curd.
Raised by the rays of the falling sun, cruel that rage of our true Cupid, they snap the killer of the mighty python. So a typical to Tripoli, ignites the heart and turns the other tail. His animals to God to glory.
You are listening to Daphne and Apollo by Odetta Hartman. This is Cutting the Curd on Heritage Radio Network.
Shoulders and low to have anything to do with men. Love fierce Apollo Surrenders.
The Academy Opus Cassius is the cheese industry's unique center for professional development, offering both practical and classroom training for cheese professionals ready to move their careers to the next level. When you come to learn at the Academy, we instill our love for cheese, our expertise, and our experience so that you can support artisanal producers, impeccably care for the fine cheeses you carry, and serve your customers with skill and enthusiasm. We integrate hands-on practice, formal instruction, and classroom discussion in all of our courses. The Academy's programs are offered at the Mons Fromagerie in the heart of France, where cheese undergoes affinage and cheeses are received, prepared, and shipped. Several Mons retail shops are nearby. The surrounding countryside is the home to producers whose excellent cheeses are cared for by the Mons team. the Mullins Cheese business has more than 50 years' experience caring for and teaching about cheese in France, a country known as the source of some of the world's greatest cheeses, deepest cheese tradition, and the highest level of technological research and rigor in cheese making and ripening. The Academy has been recognized by the American Cheese Society as the first approved education center for those preparing for the Certified Cheese Professional exam. Enroll now for Essential Foundations for Cheese Professionals or Affinage, the Art and Science of Maturing Cheese. For more information, visit www.academy-mons.com. That's academie-mons.com. Certified Cheese Professional is a registered trademark of the American Cheese Society.
Hi, it's Diane Stemple on Cutting the Curd, interviewing Jimmy Carbone on his book, Pig Island. I like pig. Whoops, I got it backwards. Anyway, one of the things I love about the book is the impromptu kind of social chef scene that sounds like it's going on behind the scenes. Could you tell us the story of how Elizabeth Shula came to the rescue a summer ago when there was a big pig and nobody to cook it?
Well, that was the fun part of this book. Was summer 2013. We went on the road, and we went to Bobolink Farm in New Jersey, and we just did a lot of photo shoots, for a photo essay. So every summer I go up to Cooperstown for this big beer festival. Belgium comes to Cooperstown. Mm-hmm. So our original Pig Island farmer, Paul Dench-Layton from Violet Hill, has moved to that area. Mm-hmm. So we planned that he killed a pig, and we were going to have a pig roast on his farm with some of the chefs who had come up to Belgium comes to Cooperstown from New York, like Tommy, Chef Tommy Harder from Blind Tiger. Mm-hmm. And it turned out it was just getting to be a lot more complicated than we thought, because we realized where he wanted us to do it was on top of the hill, which mm-hmm. he has a big farm. Mm-hmm. We only had shovels, so we were going to dig a pit and all that. And kind of after the beer festival, we said, let's not really be so ambitious. But at the same time, there's a great place in Brooklyn called Salty, mm-hmm. which Elizabeth Shula was one of the founding chefs. Mm-hmm. And she had moved up to Cooperstown, and I only met her that week when I was up there. And she was running a little at the golf club up there, like a little lunch spot that was really great. And mm-hmm. they had an issue with the water, and they had to close. Mm. So it turned out that suddenly she was available on that Sunday. And her house had like a little hearth and everything. So I went and picked up the pig from Farmer Paul,
uh-huh.
brought it to her place, and we just kind of cut it up into different, pieces. Quarters and pieces, and we played around. It was really
and
fun.
And did a couple of different recipes with it.
Yeah, and we kind of rigged up an old-school smoker where when Paul came, we took a tripod with a big hook, and mm-hmm. we hung all the pork belly, over this fire and covered it with aluminum mm-hmm. foil, so it kind of got smoked.
Right.
So it's kind of fun being, that's...
Now, was this for guests, or was it just for you guys?
We made an impromptu
party.
Were you
feeling frantic?
The original idea was, originally, John and Rachel were going to come up, and we were going to shoot it too as part mm-hmm. of the ebook, but again, it just got once you start traveling without a budget, Cooperstown didn't really work out. But I uh-huh. still had the pig,
right?
And we had some friends from,
and you had to cook it and eat it,
and we had friends from Omegang. And then she was new up, so she'd been up there a couple years too, so it turned out to be a party, a Cooperstown party. We met a lot of the locals, a lot of people in the food scene up there.
It sounded like
from
fun.
The breweries. Oh yeah.
Anyway, so the book really has a little bit of everything. It's got beans, it's got the sticky buns, it's got pasta, it's got different pieces of pork. One recipe was from Parish Hall, a restaurant that was in what's now the New Egg from the Old Egg. You're very Brooklyn inclusive. Can you talk about that a little?
Well, George Weld and Evan Hankser.
Yeah.
His chef, they've been part of Pig Island since the first year.
Mm-hmm.
And, whether it was as Egg or Parish Hall, they're always one of the most popular.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a couple years ago they made glass, kind of like Asian glass noodles, but out of the skin.
Ooh.
So there's some, not every chef gets the full pig. Some of them have particular, we'll let them, if they have a particular, desire, like they just wanted pig skin.
Mm-hmm.
And they made an awesome dish. It was kind of like one of those glass noodle salads,
mm-hmm.
but the noodle was pieces of pig
the
fat.
The noodle was actually pig fat.
Yeah.
Wow.
With some vegetables. That was pretty, I can't remember which recipe is in the book, because I said
okay.
we started this two years ago, so.
Yeah. Well, what's amazing is you have totally adopted the nose-to-tail orientation in the book, and it seems like in the pork world, everybody will use anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. Like, and that's the whole point of doing this is supporting the farmers and getting the chefs to go a little out of their comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of barbecue. This isn't a barbecue event.
Right.
And I'm not a barbecue guy. You know,
okay.
We do some barbecue events.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we have guys like Billy Durney from Hometown Barbecue, who are real barbecue experts.
Mm-hmm.
He comes and does his barbecue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it's good to branch out.
Yeah, like I said, there's so many different cuisines. I mean, Rachel was suggesting this year we go even more ethnic and get just a wider range of chefs from different communities. You know, there's West Indian.
Yeah, that's
there's a great idea. Many different communities in New York City.
Yeah. Now, there was a photo essay of Patty Jackson's, is it Cochino? Codicino?
Codicino.
Codicino, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, she runs the newest Michelin star Brooklyn restaurant, or she got a star incredibly quickly. But this is the typo.
Oh, tell me the typo. Delaware and Hudson.
Yes, is not her restaurant.
What is it?
No, her restaurant is Delaware and Hudson. You have it called Humboldt and Jackson.
Oh, my God.
Which is a bar right near me in East Williamsburg, and you got it confused because of her name.
You know, you're so right. I think I actually caught that, too. It's kind of like the other thing with the ebook. We could go back and revise it.
Yeah.
But I think once it was out,
right.
I think we did so many copy edits that we just said, I didn't say it to anybody. I said, I'm not going to mention it.
Well, I read it twice and didn't realize it because I think I call those two places each other's names all the time.
Yeah. Well, let me give a plug to Patty Jackson.
So, yes, please do.
First
please
Delaware
do.
And Hudson.
I love her. I've
in Williamsburg. It's the original egg space.
Yes.
She really had a vision, and it's amazing that she did it. It's a prefix, but it's like this kind of like,
it's reasonable.
Yeah, like mid-Atlantic.
Like maybe $48 for dinner.
Yeah, so kind of like American farm food, like Pennsylvania, mid-Atlantic kind of recipes. And it's an amazing amount of really good food for that. It's one of the best deals in the city.
I think so.
For that price.
Yeah.
And she's doing a great job over there. But the Codicino recipe goes back a number of years ago before Pig Island. I don't know if it was a Castle Lake cook-off because we host a lot of other events at Jimmy's Number 43.
Mm-hmm.
But she made a Codicino kind of stewed and simmered. You kind of simmer. You know what? The Codicino is like this big, giant sausage.
Tell our listeners what it is because we're cheese people.
It's a big, giant kind of like sausage type thing that's rolled up in cheesecloth.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do is you know, it's whatever's in there. It's chopped, diced, kind of like a classic sausage filling.
Mm-hmm.
But you simmer it in the bean broth.
Okay.
So as you're cooking the beans, you put the...
What kind of beans?
Whatever beans you want.
Okay.
But, you know, cannellini beans, white beans.
Mm-hmm.
But you're simmering the sausage in the cheesecloth in the water with the beans as they cook. So it cooks together, the flavor overlaps. And there's different ways to make it, but that's what Patty made. And it was one of my favorite bean dishes ever. And it's really amazing. So we had her make that for the photo essay.
Right.
And I'll give you an inside clue. Well, I shouldn't tell you.
Oh, go, please do. Please do.
Well, we even when we did the recipes, we stayed true. And like farmers like Michael Yezzi from Flying Pigs Farm contributed different parts for the photo shoots and for the recipe testing. And Patty had, I think she had gotten, we got delayed. So I think that the pork was sitting around a little too long.
Oh.
So we were when she was making it, you know, it was we didn't eat it. Let's put it that way. But she did a great job. And I shouldn't say that on the air. We ended up making pasta.
Okay.
But she used all the parts that she needed, and I would check the recipe. It's an amazing recipe.
Oh, okay. But, okay, it's a little bit adventuresome for me. Oh, here I have written in my notes about the putting the two pig heads in the pot, which the quote is. If you're using a whole head, especially after seeing that picture, ask your butcher to split it in half anyway. It makes it much easier to fit it in the pot.
I like when you're reading the notes from the ebook. It sounds pretty good.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah. Well,
we'll have a reading.
That's Sam Barbier's recipe, and you know, you gotta fit it in the pot.
Right.
You know.
Right. One small criticism I have for a not-so-adventuresome cook, I'd like to know how long the recipes are going to take at the top. You know,
that's a great point.
You know, because is it going to take 3 days with prep? Is it going to take, you know, does it have to sit in the refrigerator getting it?
Well, if you go to my recipes, Jimmy Carboni's recipes took about 10 minutes to make.
Okay.
A little bacon and pasta and, you know, and some of them are more, definitely more elaborate. Mm-hmm. We were on Sharp and Hot with Emily Peterson a couple of months ago, and Sam Barbieri came on, and she actually did something really cool. She made step-by-step the head cheese recipe, and she kind of tweeted about it.
Oh, okay.
And she even called in her friend, the butcher, in her hometown and put in the order for the pig's head.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
great.
So that's kind of caught on, that recipe.
Oh, cool.
And I guess you should make – there's a guy out in San Francisco, Chris Cosentino. I remember years ago I saw a video he did making head cheese or a testa.
Right, right.
And I don't know. It catches people's fancy. Well, it's like old world, you know. Even at the East Village Meat Market, they have their version of head cheese.
Right.
You know, Sam makes so many different, he makes different rillettes and pâtés. And, you know, that's another, we don't really go into the charcuterie. And that's something happened in New York State that's really big. In Glenwood, which it's a nonprofit in the Hudson Valley, they really got behind apples and added value and created Cider Week. And now they're doing something, they're training a bunch of pig farmers how to, making them more aware of charcuterie and what they can do. So I think that's going to be the next movement. So we don't really have so much charcuterie at Pig Island, nor in the book.
Right.
I think there's a lot of books about charcuterie.
Yeah.
But we did include the head cheese.
Okay. Now, one other thing I was wondering, many of the recipes say just use your favorite sauce or rub. And I feel like that might not be a good idea. People might just go to the grocery store and pick some stupid, you know, sauce, and it might not make it as good as the chefs would.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, maybe that was a shortcut.
You include somebody's grandmother's sauce, Sweet Hannah sauce, which is Jesse Jones' grandmother.
Yeah.
So that's good.
That's Jesse.
But I think you need more.
I think we assume that. I mean, I know it's tough with cookbooks. I think we assume that people have some, you know, sense of cooking to say that. But, for example, not too long ago, I was in the East Village Meat Market, and a woman came in, and I know she really wanted – you could tell she wanted to learn how to cook, and she asked a very basic – it was like there was a pork chop, and she really didn't even know how to cook that.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked the butcher how to cook, and he told her to season it and put it in the oven, something very basic.
Right.
But we forget that when we're professionals and working in the industry, that there's a lot of people that if they grow up, you know, eating fast food, prepared foods. You know, you go to like a Whole Foods. What are people getting? They're getting the prepared foods or the frozen foods. That's what they order.
Right.
And if you grew up that way, this generation, they may not know how to cook a pork chop.
Right. And I think people coming back to high quality meat want to take care of it, want to make sure they're doing the right thing with it to make it worthwhile.
Yeah, no, 100%.
And they may not have been cooking all along with meat.
Well, I think that a lot of people got scared away from meat. And I think right now there's in the food world, I know a lot more people who say they're vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
Like Karen Page just wrote her new book about it's a vegan Bible. Mm-hmm. You know, she and Andrew Dornberg have written so many great books.
Oh, wow.
This is the first one where it's basically a vegetarian book.
Well,
sorry,
vegetarian or vegan?
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it. I'm so bad. They'll kill me. But and when the ebook came out, I wrote to them and asked if they would, you know, either post a review or comment on the
Your
I
book.
Like Pig. And she said, well, but it doesn't seem right because now she's a really hardcore vegetarian.
Oh, wow.
And it's for health and other reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I really respect her. But I'm saying I think that people that have a vision of what purity should be and how, you know, how important food is to the world and the ecosystem and food, you know, policy or whatever, I think that, you know, well-raised, you know, meat is good. And there's animal welfare approved. There's a new label that's starting to make sense to people because it's really looking at, it's not just like a corporate label like certified organic.
Right.
It looks at everything from...
Is it humane certified?
I think it's animal welfare approved.
Okay.
So
okay.
It's not the humane... I don't think humane should come in terms with raising animals.
Okay.
I think that you have those guidelines about, you know, at the end of the day, we're going to eat them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's humane.
Mm-hmm. You know, oh, you don't like the choice of words.
Yeah, I think, but animal welfare approved is, okay, is really the first. I think it's something that recognizes what happens on the farm, mm-hmm, as, and all the way to your plate.
Right, right. Well, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, just getting back to reality, what's been going on in your neighborhood. I don't know if our listeners, I'm sure our listeners all know that Jimmy's number 43 was right next to the buildings that exploded in the East Village. How, what are the current concerns in your neighborhood as of now?
You know, it's something I feel like I don't want to talk about anymore because,
okay,
it was, you know, the explosion was 10 feet from our kitchen and,
I know,
you know, a quarter of a block came down.
And you live there too.
I live on the same block. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, the biggest issue was just, it's a lot of people lost their homes. A lot of businesses,
right,
were burned.
Right.
And, it was a really rough time, but we are back open. And I know that there's some groups, I know this week.
How long have you been open?
We were only closed for a little over 2 weeks.
Okay. And did you have an immediate, like, good turnout of people delighted to?
There's been so many great people. Mm-hmm. There's some disaster, loans and, mm-hmm, this, Kiva.org got a loan from me really fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's a slow money. People have backed that group, Kiva.org.
And okay.
So there's a lot of, but this group, Food Plus Tech Meetup, is going to meet this Wednesday
at
Jimmy's number 43 to,
mm-hmm,
do a mini fundraiser. And they've told a lot of great stories about what we do. And it's kind of why something like Pig Island came out, is that ever since I opened Jimmy's number 43, we've always opened our doors to, you know, food nonprofit groups.
Right. Other
and
people
I
who
think
needed
that,
help.
I didn't even realize this, but the Food Plus Tech Meetup started in my back room.
Oh, cool.
You know, so
yeah,
there's a lot of great history, uh-huh, that happens there. And combine and see us, because there's a lot of things. We always hosted a number of Slow Food New York City events. Now, mm-hmm, we're doing a monthly cocktail classic, mm-hmm, tasting with Slow Food NYC. Mm-hmm. Again, because there's so many great new, mm-hmm, you know,
indie
spirits.
You let me do a cheese tasting for 3D Cheese in your back room.
Yeah. Long time ago. That,
yeah,
that was great.
Yeah.
In fact, talk about cheese lovers. I'll give a plug to Ann Saxelby. When she first started her shop, Shaxelby, mm-hmm, Cheesemongers, I was introduced to her. And ever since then, so spring of 2006, pretty much the only cheese I bought for...
You left me at Murray's.
Yeah, Jimmy's number 43. I used to go to Murray's. And that was a real education, just getting only Northeast Farmstead cheeses.
Mm-hmm.
That was a huge experience in my life, and I loved it. I love Anne.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a lot of things like, we would do crazy. I would do $10 all you can eat and drink. It would be like 6 point and cheese. I mean, I don't know what I was thinking in the beginning, but we brought in a lot of people.
Okay, that's great. Is there anything our listeners can do to help?
Well, I mean, ongoing, you know, when something like that kind of disaster happens, if anything, it heightens just how perilous a lot of these old, everyone loves the village, they say, mm-hmm, the village. Well, there's only a certain number of mom-and-pop stores left. And
right,
the number one thing we ask is go online, go to jimmysnumber43.com, buy gift certificates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're good forever. So I feel like it's a fair ask,
mm-hmm,
and you get your full value. But buy our gift certificates. It's jimmysnumber43.com.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps us going. We're getting into the slow season of the summer. You know, this, mm-hmm, this whole part of our block's gone, and you know, people,
the summer's slow in the village.
Summer slows down. I mean, all this,
ah,
all the school,
oh,
there's a lot of students
away,
you know,
oh, right,
people
right,
go to the beach and things.
Oh, right.
And there's a big festival coming up. It's the traditional St. George Church Ukrainian Festival, May 15th to 17th, and that's going to be, working with the city, it's going to be an East Village's open event.
Oh, nice.
Where we're going to have just try to get more people to come out to that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming up in a couple weeks.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Jimmy. He's also the host of Beer Sessions Radio on heritageradionetwork.org and the author of the ebook I Like Pig, and it's been a pleasure to meet with you in person.
Thanks for having me, Diane.
Bye.
Cheese.
Listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Latham.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.